You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Breaking news tonight, a beautiful and tender-hearted singer-songwriter mutilated dead while walking her dog in Atlanta's Piedmont Park. Could dog DNA crack the case? Why weren't any of the park surveillance cameras working that night of all nights? Tonight, who murdered singer-songwriter Katie Janis? Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Atlanta 911, operator 7959. What's the address to your emergency?
Sir, I'm at the entrance of Piedmont Park. I just was searching for my girlfriend's phone because I couldn't find her. She's dead. She's here at Piedmont Park. Please help.
You said somebody's dead at Piedmont Park?
Yes, sir. Please send help. Please.
All right, yes, ma'am. I'm going to send help to you.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Why is this case unsolved? Katie brutally murdered, her body mutilated, in plain view in the park, for Pete's sake. A park that many of us have jogged around and around, gone to picnics, gone to concerts, right there in plain view. Why is this case not solved? You are hearing part of the 911 call that tells me a lot after I dissect it, but listen to more.
Where's she at? Where's she at in the park?
She's right near the entrance. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Did you see that? That's my girlfriend.
What?
Yeah.
All right, hold.
Please, oh my God, dude, she's like, she's dead, like, it's so
All right, I'm about to call Grady, okay?
I'm about to call Grady, okay? That is an inner city hospital well known for its emergency and trauma unit, known across the country, but nothing could save Katie Janis. Thank you for being with us. This case has sparked so many theories as to what went wrong. Why, with so much DNA evidence, has this case not been solved? Could dog DNA crack this case? And why on that night were the surveillance cameras not working? Joining me in All-Star Panel, but first to Eric Perry, investigative reporter and anchor at WAGA, W-A-G-A, Fox 5. Eric, who made the 911 call?
Yeah, you're listening to Emma Clark. That is her girlfriend. So they had earlier just had dinner. She worked around the corner, not even a half a mile from the park. And then when she didn't go home, they realized that something was wrong. She didn't answer the call. And then she was able to find her there right in the park. And we're talking maybe a couple of feet, 100 feet in the park. So if you're driving by there, a very busy area, you would have been able to see something if it was daylight outside, but it was right there in that park there. But it was her girlfriend, longtime girlfriend, that found the body mutilated there.
You know, to Dale Carson joining me, high-profile lawyer out of the Jacksonville jurisdiction, but for my purposes, former FBI agent, former cop in Miami-Dade. You never got a moment's rest in Miami-Dade, and author of Arrest Proof Yourself. You can find him at DaleCarsonLaw.com. Dale, typically police look immediately at who found the body and who's closest to the victim, and that both the answers to both of those questions would be the roommate, Emma Clark. But I'm not buying it, Dale Carson. I want you to listen again to her voice, her inflection in the 911 call. Listen.
Atlanta 911, operator 7959. What's the address to your emergency?
Sir, I'm at the entrance of Piedmont Park. I just was searching for my girlfriend's phone because I couldn't find her. She's dead. She's here at Piedmont Park. Please help.
You said somebody's dead at Piedmont Park?
Yes, sir. Please send help. Please.
All right, yes, ma'am. I'm going to send help to you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Where's she at? Where's she at in the park?
She's right near the entrance. Like, I don't know. How to explain it. boyfriend.
Alright,
please. Oh my god, dude. Seems like she's dead. Like, it's so.
Alright, I'm about to call Grady, okay?
Of course, I am not a, interpreter of inflection. But after putting, thousands of witnesses on the stand, I've learned a little bit. That sounds real to me, Dale Carson.
Well, I absolutely agree. Aside from which, an attack of this nature with a knife would result in a great deal of blood scattering. And so the result would be she would be also covered in blood at the time she made the report. Because obviously this just happened. And certainly investigators are sophisticated enough to take her DNA, check her for blood or cuts herself, and those sorts of things. I mean, what we're looking at here, in my view, is a disorganized killer. It's probably an assault that came out of nowhere, essentially. And from my experiences directly at Piedmont Park in Atlanta back in the 70s, this is a known area for people to meet up for illicit behavior. So it is a more dangerous area than one might initially.
Hey, hold on, buddy, hold on. I don't know what you were doing there in the 70s, but where I lived the entire time I was a prosecutor is 3 blocks from there, and I guarantee you I was not in the park trying to hook up for sex, okay? So backtrack.
I can believe that.
Circle back. No, there's no indication that Katie Janess was there looking for sex. I don't know what you're thinking, man. I'm putting you in the corner. I'm giving you a few moments to think about what you just said.
There are odd people in that park.
Are you saying Katie's odd?
I know there is back access to the park that is unavailable unless you know it's there off Westminster. And when you go into that area, you're hidden from the general public. What I'm saying is that there are bad people who migrate there.
From the Piedmont Driving Club, which abuts the park where all the rich people go, that coming in secretly that way? Wait, you know what? It doesn't matter. I hope, and I'm going to choose to believe the best of you, Dale Carson, former Fed with the FBI, that you meant she may have encountered an odd person, which obviously she did, because this woman is not odd. She is loving. She's creative. She's a singer-songwriter. She's in a stable relationship. She's walking her dog. She's a dog person, for Pete's sake. I'm still going to give you a timeout. Let me go to Dr. Kendall Crowns while Dale Carson composes himself. Dr. Kendall Crowns is joining us. Guys, he's the chief medical examiner, Tarrant County. That's Fort Worth. Lecturer of the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Literally thousands, somewhere in the range of 10,000 plus autopsies. I want to talk to you, Dr. Kendall Crowns, about something very, very disturbing. In addition to Katie Janess being murdered in plain view at the entrance, that's by a red light where people are walking by, of Piedmont Park. That's like Atlanta's Central Park, right there. Look. I want to talk to you about how her body was mutilated. What are your thoughts?
So mutilation is often with people who are very upset with the individual, or it's showing someone who has a mental disease or something along those lines. The anytime you see mutilation, there's more to the story than just a simple murder. Either the person knew them or the individual had another deep-lying problem. Another time we see mutilation is when the individual doesn't die right away and the perpetrator starts just doing what we call overkill and keeps stabbing and stabbing and stabbing until they die.
Regarding the mutilation on Katie Janess's body, listen.
According to the autopsy report that the coroner published, she was stabbed over 50 times, multiple times in her head and her chest and her torso, just over 50 times. There have been some reports that there was a word carved in her chest and it spelled out fat, F-A-T.
Janice also had the letters F-A-T carved into her lower chest and into her abdomen. The letters F and A are essentially to the right of the midline. As you cross over the midline, you get to the letter T. And these letters are several inches in length and width.
Dr. Kendall Crowns, of course, when you are trying to decipher some words or numbers carved into a victim's body, it's much like the art, not science, art of forensic dentistry, unless you've got a very, very unusual tooth configuration. It's not going to work because it's like biting into jello. How can you tell the pattern left in the skin? It's movable, much like this, but apparently it was decipherable. How would that have been achieved? How could you cut visible letters into the human body like that, and in that location on her body?
Well, it's cutting the letters, and it's a simple matter of just pushing the knife into the skin and then drawing it across until you get the incised wound or the shape that you want, and then going the other way. The letters cut into bodies don't really necessarily look like cursive or well done. They're usually just kind of very just lines. And you can do that easily with a knife, is just cutting lines into the individual and making simple words.
Listen to this, doctor.
She's got a lot of injuries over the totality of her torso, her face. These are all anterior injuries. They start actually at the forehead. There's even one, I think, that goes to the very top of the head. They go all the way across the surface of both eyes. The lips are actually incised all the way down to the chin, and there are multiple of these. Miss Janice was actually sliced from that point at the xiphoid all the way down to her pubis. And this injury went so deep that loops of her intestines or bowels were actually hanging out. The pathologist actually noted that there was hemorrhage in the bowel. Her heart was beating.
Dr. Kendall Crowns, her heart was beating during this, which means she was alive for some of the desecration to her body, the mutilation. For there to be hemorrhaging in the bowel means the blood was circulating. It's a bruise. A hemorrhage is a bruise. You don't bruise if your heart's not beating because the blood isn't circulating. There was hemorrhage in her bowel, which means her heart was beating, which means she was alive. What is the xiphoid?
The xiphoid is an area of your sternum or your chest plate where it's a little kind of bony projection that's kind of right at the base of your sternum, right at the top of the abdomen. So that description of that wound is basically right at the base of her chest all the way down her abdomen. She has a large open sharp force injury that goes through the abdominal wall and then causes the intestines to just come out of her abdominal cavity. So she was essentially eviscerated by that wound to a degree.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Catherine Katie Janice took her dog Bowie for a walk in Atlanta's Piedmont Park. Katie went to see her girlfriend Emma, who was working down the street as a bartender. After leaving the bar, Katie continued her walk. After work, Emma went home, but Katie wasn't there. She should have been back from the dog walk by then. So Emma started calling Katie's cell phone, but did not get an answer. Then she sent text messages. They also went unanswered. That's when the worry set in, and Emma went out to look for Katie.
Emma worked as a bartender in a local bar right there at the park. So Katie would walk Bowie to the establishment and they would visit for a few minutes while she was on break. And then while she finished walking the dog another 20 or 30 minutes, Emma would finish up her shift and they would meet back home at the same time.
Joining us, an all-star panel, to Eric Perry, investigative reporter and anchor at Fox 5 WAGA. That was their usual routine. I see no reason to deviate from that routine on that particular night, which tells me there was only a 30-minute window in which Katie Janice was killed.
Yeah, that was their usual routine. And Katie Janess was known in that area. I spent days after that homicide talking to people in the area, and they all knew her. They all remember seeing her. They knew Bowie the dog. In fact, at the memorial, you saw just as much dog toys for Bowie than you saw flowers for Katie Janess. But they were both known there in the area. The girlfriend was known. So this was what they did every day. This was what should have been just an ordinary nightly walk with the dog. Many people walk their dogs because there is a sense of security. This is 10th and Piedmont. If you're not familiar, for those watching not familiar with Atlanta, this is 10th and Piedmont. This is the Midtown area, the heartbeat of the city. You have huge festivals. So if you don't feel safe anywhere in the city, there is a, I guess now, a false sense of security that you feel there at Piedmont Park. But every night, this is what they did. And when she didn't hear anything from them, that's when Emma says she went to go looking for Katie and used her cell phone and the tracking devices and the GPS. And that's when they found her just right there at 10. And there's a high school there as well. It was called Grady High School. They changed the name to Midtown High. So you have a high school there. You have homes there. There is an open field that's right there where close to where her body was found. So many people feel safe there, even if it is later in the night.
I mean, this is a neighborhood. Back to Dale Carson, former Fed with the FBI, now defense lawyer. Dale, I have run that Piedmont Park outside circumference a million times. At Grady High School, a million times. My son has played soccer there a million times. This is a family-oriented area, although it is in inner city Atlanta. So this, out of the blue, in a 30-minute time block, that's very unusual, Dale Carson.
It is, and it's close to an entrance, which makes, you know, an ambush assault more likely. If she had a routine, then it's easy to follow someone who has a routine over a period of time. So it's certainly possible that someone set up on her. And clearly, your ME is correct. The assault of that nature shows an anger and a frustration that is beyond the level of just a homicide. And so we would be looking for someone who frequented the area, knows this woman, and is simply lying in wait for her. I mean, to complete the task of killing someone with a knife, particularly with the violence that was demonstrated against the body, would take a few moments. And certainly that's done in an area that is likely to be exposed to vehicle traffic or other people walking in the park. So someone engaging in this activity, in my view, is a disorganized killer, meaning, you know, they're mentally not perhaps stable. They are clearly homicidal.
Well, I don't know that that rises to the level of mental instability if you're trying to get toward insanity, because up until right now, they've managed to outsmart APD. With me, Chris McDonough, director of the Cold Case Foundation, former homicide detective with over 300 homicide investigations under his belt. I found him on the interview room on YouTube during the Koberger investigation. Chris, thank you for being with us. I'm hearing what Dale Carson and Dr. Kendall Crowns and Eric Perry is saying. I'm about to go to our shrink, Dr. Angela Arnold. But Chris McDonough, of course, the prosecutor doesn't have to show motive ever, but we're saying this is a targeted attack on Katie Janess. Somebody had to know her. They had to know her routine. What about the fact that this is right there at the entrance? There are people walking by, including homeless people, including all nature of people that are drawn to inner city Atlanta for various reasons. What if it's someone that just hates women in general? There was no sex attack. This person actually killed her dog, Bowie, as well. And they took the time. They weren't worried about getting caught. They took the time to mutilate her body with the letters F-A-T. What can we discern from that?
You know, Nancy, there's a couple of things that are coming through in my mind. One, when she was presented at the autopsy, her underwear were down at her knees, number one. The second, to your point about the park, it shows a familiarity and a comfortable position that the suspect felt that they were in to potentially, you know, blitzkrieg the victim here. The fact that the victim had a dog also shows that the suspect was comfortable potentially seeing her in the past. But I agree with you 100% that this was a rage that this poor victim experienced with the strikes to the head, multiple strikes to the body. And then she was left out, you know, as if she was just an item where after he had experimented by cutting into her skin, potentially by creating those lettering.
Very, very critical point. Eric Perry joining us, WAGA investigative reporter and anchor. Eric, Chris McDonough said something. Well, everything he said was critical, but the fact about her underwear being pulled down, her pants and underwear being pulled down, they were not off. And to my knowledge, she was not raped. But the fact that her underwear and pants were pulled down makes the attack somewhat of a sexual nature, whether the actual rape could be affected or not.
Yeah, you know, many people are drawing their own conclusions. Was this a hate crime? Police, Atlanta police coming back saying they don't think it was. And a lot of the details that we're hearing, Atlanta police shared a lot of this. And I think this is what took frustration to outrage that something like this could happen in that short window of time in such a public place there and made it so uneasy and even to this day.
No, I don't see it. To just go by at this time with day or night and go, oh, she may be gay. Let me kill her and her dog. What are they, a dog hater too? My place was less than three blocks from that. So trying to connect this to her sex preference, I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that's the answer. But what is the answer?
Emma used the Find My iPhone app on Katie's phone. It showed Katie's phone was about 100 yards inside Piedmont Park, which was very close to Katie and Emma's home. Emma thought maybe Katie had dropped the phone, so she went into the park to find it. But what she finds is a very gruesome scene. The first thing she saw was Bowie. Bowie was dead. Not too far away, Emma found Katie's body.
Dr. Kendall Crowns joining us, renowned medical examiner, Tarrant County, Fort Worth lecturer, Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, I want to analyze, because I think this is the key to the case, the fact that the killer mutilated her body with the word fat. That is unlike practically any homicide I've seen. I have a lot of stabbings, a lot of dismemberings, but to actually write hate words on the body, to carve them into the body, that's rare. Yes, it's happened before, but it's still rare. I mean, think about it, Dr. Crowns. She's out at night walking her dog, and the person yanks her pants down, doesn't rape her. But that is a way of humiliating a woman, to leave her to be found that way. And then to carve fat, F-A-T, into her abdomen. Help me think, Dr. Crowns, how will this help me catch the killer?
So again, I agree. It's very odd that they mutilated the body. It's odd that they wrote words on her. I too have done a lot of homicides with stabbings and domestic homicides. I've not actually seen a homicide in which letters were written on the body. I've seen suicides, which in an individual cut words into their body, but not homicides. So again, this is an odd case. Obviously, they had, I still feel a lot of rage at this time, at the situation, to kill her dog. There's a lot going on in that scene. And then the removal of the pants, it could be they purposely did that to humiliate her, or alternatively, it could be they dragged her and her pants pulled down as well. Hard to say.
Joining us, in addition to Dr. Kendall Crowns, is renowned psychiatrist Dr. Angela Arnold, joining us out of the Atlanta jurisdiction, this jurisdiction where Katie Janess was murdered. You can find her at angelaarnoldmd.com. Dr. Angie, this has a plethora of clues, but to discern them is a whole nother thing.
Well, I seem to think that we need to break it down there into a couple of options. First of all, like everyone has said to you, Nancy, and you know this as well, the people that live around Piedmont Park feel very safe around Piedmont Park. Okay? We know that she had been to visit her girlfriend at her place of work, her significant other. And then she was simply walking her dog. So to me, I wonder, was this a spurned other woman that was angry with her and wanted to decimate her body because of some sort of conflict she had had with her? Or was it a random act of violence and she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time at the park? And that's why no one has been able to find this person, because whoever did it, just as easily as you can disappear back into the park. Although I certainly don't understand why there wasn't a blood trail that someone could follow. But I think that if we look at it as just, it seems simple to break it down into the two or three different kinds of people that could have done this to her. It could have been completely random. I don't think whoever did it was completely mentally ill or psychotic at the time. If they were able to carve the word fat onto her, as has been said, to just desecrate her even more. I mean, why does somebody have to carve that onto a woman, right? And then pull her. And then it's interesting because I wonder if it was another woman who did this to her and pulled her pants down to make it seem like it was a man that may have done this to her. That's just what I've thought.
Now, that is a theory. That is a theory I hadn't thought of.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Back to Dr. Kendall Crowns, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County, Fort Worth. Dr. Crowns, if I had heard the word fat was carved into her, I would think that was an urban myth. I wouldn't believe it. But it is in the autopsy report that is what the physician, the medical examiner, believed. And normally there's an attendee that would probably have been talking, going, yeah, that's what it says. That adds a lot of credence to FAT being carved into her. You've got a doctor that could use a magnifying glass to really look at the words, the letters. I don't know how big the letters were, but there's no doubt in the autopsy report that is what was carved into her body.
Yes, from reviewing the autopsy report, it does appear that it is the letters FAT carved into her body. Again, you know, they're easier letters to do because the people that I've seen carve words into their body usually use simple letters. You can't usually carve a G very easily or a D, but F, A, and T are easy enough to carve. But it is very unusual. Again, like I said before, that I have not seen that in a homicide. I have seen it in suicides. So I agree with the psychiatrist. I apologize, I can't remember her name. That it's very odd, and I think it could be someone that knows her. It could be another woman. It's just the whole thing is very strange.
Atlanta 911, operator 7959. What's the address of your emergency?
Sir, I'm at the entrance of Piedmont Park. I just was searching for my girlfriend's phone because I couldn't find her. She's dead. She's here at Piedmont Park. Please help.
You said somebody's dead at Piedmont Park?
Yes, sir. Please send help. Please.
All right, yes, ma'am. I'm going to send help to you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Where's she at in the park?
She's away near the entrance. Like, I don't know how to explain it to me. Did you see that? That's my girlfriend.
What?
Yeah.
All right, hold.
Please, oh my God, dude, she's like, she's dead, like, it's so
All right, I'm about to call Grady, okay?
The mayor speaking out, did it do any good? Listen.
We've also seen a murder in our city, the likes of which we have not seen in quite some time. There was a horrific murder of Catherine Jonas, the victim who was found at Piedmont Park. Unfortunately, we still don't have all of the information that we need in her murder to make an arrest.
Okay, so the mayor finally spoke, but she didn't address this. Listen.
We'll be releasing still photos of six individuals that were in and around Piedmont Park. And what we're hoping is that these individuals will come forward and to let us know. I hope that they saw something while in the park.
Six people on a list. Joining me, all-star panel, Eric Perry joining us, anchor, investigative reporter, WAGA. What about the six people on the list?
Many people wanted to know who these people were. They released the images of some of the people there. And then you asked the question, did it do any good? I actually don't know if it did any good for her benefit.
Well, you're right, Eric Perry. And another thing that was not addressed is the surveillance cameras in that park. Listen.
The evidence is going to dictate where our investigation goes. The cameras are just a tool that usually just helps us and aids us in investigations. But I have some talented men and women over in 226 Piedmont Peachtree Street that know how to solve crimes without anything other than just the evidence at hand.
What? Man, is he trying to CYA right there? Hey, yeah, we can solve this evidence with nothing. He just said that. He just said that. And that is a very poor job of covering up the fact that they knew, the city knew, those cameras did not work. The software was obsolete and had been obsolete for a long time. But that was just A-OK. While they support and pay for every boondoggle they felt like as fat cat politicians instead of taking care of the people in that park. What about that? And they're still in office. It's amazing. Nothing happened to these people. They all still have jobs. They've gone on to do other things in their career. Nothing happened. It's like, oh yeah, a security camera was pointed right at the murder spot, but it wasn't working. Darn. What? Why didn't heads roll?
Yeah, and that was a public outcry we saw in the days afterwards when they realized that the cameras weren't working. But many people, we'd see the cameras, so you would assume that they were working. And you'll think that, oh, it's right there. You see, right there is exactly where all of this was. This is where the vigil was. This is where the memorial took place. So when people realized that this wasn't connected to what they call their integral system, to where they can save the video, they can go back, review the video, and the video will connect directly to Atlanta 911 Center, that is where we saw the outcry. It took an additional 9 months for that system that was promised when the murder happened to actually be in place. And it was delayed and delayed and delayed to 9 months later to when it finally actually happened. So we found that period after the murder where it still wasn't connected to Atlanta police system.
Question, Eric Perry. Has it been fixed yet?
It has. It has. So now they promise that those cameras are integrated. They have the ability to save it. But many people say it's a little bit too late because the worst has already been done.
Did you actually say they promised? Did you say that, Eric? Because I think you did.
They did.
Yeah, right. And that and $8 at Starbucks will buy you a cup of coffee. Okay, let's move forward with this investigation and try not to pay attention to what politicians are saying. So the girlfriend finds the body while she is out looking for Katie, and she finds it by using the Find My iPhone app. To Chris McDonough joining me, homicide detective, now founder of the Cold Case Foundation. I found him on his interview. The Interview Room, his channel on YouTube. Chris, I got to hear your analysis now that you've heard everything we've discussed.
You know, Nancy, there's a couple of things that I think are important. One, we're coming up on 3 years here in July. And so I think the authorities need to be aware that those cameras had better be working because there's a high probability the suspect may return to that particular area. The second thing is the phone pings that Emma utilized that night. That was a really smart move, to be honest with you. And when I heard the 911 call, my first impression was she's in shock. 100%. She's losing her breath. She's just, you know, just in total shock. With I'm curious as to where the dog was found, and then where her body was ultimately found. Because if they're separated like that, and then she was being pursued and chased potentially, and that really does put the suspect into another level. To your point earlier, Nancy, that this guy just hates women, and potentially she was the target that evening, maybe randomly, maybe selective. I mean, there's evidence of both, but to keep an open mind at this point, this guy knew what he was doing when he attacked her that evening.
I agree that it's a man, because this degree of brutality is rarely seen statistically in women. So now the police are, at this point, they're begging for tips. And I can't take it in, because there's so much evidence. So there has to be DNA evidence. There has to be. But still, no arrest, and police are begging for evidence. Listen.
We're also asking if you saw anyone with any unexplained injuries, a intense attraction to this case in the media, a change in appearance, change in hair color, change in any type of facial hair, an absence of school, work, come forward. Give us a call. There's nothing insignificant that we won't take, and there's nothing that we will not follow up on.
The incident in Piedmont Park. It was my decision to call upon the FBI after having conversations with Chief Hampton on what we had in the park. This homicide, this murder was outside the norm of what we would typically see. This was so unique that I felt that we needed to collaborate with as many resources as we possibly can. And therefore, I asked Chief to get in touch with the FBI immediately.
Thank heaven. Dale Carson joining me, lawyer out of Jacksonville, former FBI. Dale Carson, you're also a beat cop. Thank goodness the FBI is called in, but still no arrest.
Well, they'll use the behavioral science unit to verify and validate a lot of what we've spoken about here on camera.
Blah. Are you serious? Behavioral science?
Sure.
They're going to say the same thing they always say. It was a lonely white guy that hates women. They always say the same thing.
Well, it's a little more precise than that if you look at some of the reports. It'll discuss things like who the individual might have been, the indicators, what brought this about. And for example, we learned that rapists typically follow certain profiles, and their behavior on the street away from the victim can be fairly easily identified based on their behavior, the possessions they have. They have a truck. They drink Budweiser beer. They have a dog. All of those kind of things will help isolate out people who moved around the Piedmont area. But I want to draw your attention back to the fat word that was cut into the body. To me, that says that that is the reason for the attack, that someone thinks that this poor woman, the deceased here, offended them or rejected them because they were fat, and therefore wrote the word on her abdomen. And from what I read in the autopsy report, her genitalia was, both her breasts and her vagina were eviscerated. And that's an indication from my perspective that it was a male attack.
Yes, agree. Guys, take a listen to the APD Deputy Chief Charles Hampton Jr.
This is a case that relies heavily on biological evidence, heavily on technology evidence. And those things also take time. Some things are out of our control, and so we have to wait until things come back. And again, that could be data coming back from carriers, phone carriers.
Does that mean they're bringing in, or did bring in, Chris McDonough, a stingray to get a data dump of all the cell phones used in that area in that 1 hour period? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, absolutely, Nancy. And that information then will be dumped into a program called Gladiator, and they'll be able to pull a digital footprint of who's around that area.
Guys, if you know or think you know anything about the murder of this singer-songwriter, beloved Katie Janess, please dial 404-577-TIPS, 404-577-8477. We stop to remember Euclid, Ohio police officer Jacob Durbin, just 23 years old. Jacob Durbin ambushed and shot responding to a disturbance call. A U.S. vet of the Army National Guard, he served in Kuwait. Recently engaged, he's survived by a grieving fiancée, Liv, mother, Dawn Marie, and father, Vince. American hero, Euclid PD, Jacob Durbin. I want to thank all of our truly amazing guests, the Brain Trust that joins us here every night, but especially to you for being with us tonight and every night. Nancy Gray signing off. Good night, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.